And we're holding on page 26 in Brachos, Ois Tesdain. Now, we had several things that the Gemara quoted from Abba ben Yom. The first one of them had to do with davening, Shetei Lifnei Mitosi, and then we discussed that, and then he said something else about davening, that if one person doesn't wait for another in shul. By the way, to finish off, actually, we kind of left some details of it hanging. Tosfos actually points out what we had said yesterday, we discussed a little bit, that primarily this business about not leaving somebody else in shul is primarily in those days, like we said, when shuls were out in the fields. Or Tosfos says at night, because at night also there might be danger. Then he goes on to say that if the person came in afterwards, let's say, then in principle, you know, or if he's taking his time saying piyutim or whatever or tillim, then you don't necessarily have to wait for him. Nevertheless, it says that Tosfos brings that the re would wait for somebody even under such conditions. And if, okay, he's done davening, what else is he going to do? He picks up a sefer and learns. So Tosfos says certainly we should be machmer. If the re's time was presumably it was a lot more valuable than ours, could take the time to do that. Nonetheless, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not actually required to in such cases. It's midas chasidus. Okay, so now that we said some things from Abba ben Yamin, so now the Gemara brings more things from him. Tanya, Abba ben Yamin, if the eye were given the ability by Hashem to see the mazikim around us, no creature would be able to stand in the face of the mazikim. If a person saw all the number of mazikim who are around him, he would be so terrified he wouldn't be able to manage. So the Eibishter did us a favor and kept them hidden from us. Throughout Shas, when it talks about mazikim, the Me'iri, for example, often explains we're not talking about actual entities such as Shadim, as we usually understand them. He understands that it means, for example, thoughts of Kfira, those are constantly in the air around us, and the Eibishter does us a favor and makes us insensitive to most of them. But the usual understanding is that it does mean Shadim. And we're talking about that there's a huge number of them surrounding a person all the time, but the Eibishter does us a favor and doesn't allow us to see them. I once saw somebody wanted to say, maybe in this context, we could say that maybe we're talking about like bacteria and other such pathogens that are in the air. Of course, we're to see a cloud of them that's around him. Yeah, he'd never.
Today on the subway, and I saw this black guy talking to him, someone getting very, very scared and crazy. Yeah. It's definitely one of those that shouldn't die.
Well, there's that. But I'm talking about that's where we're talking about, let's say, if a person were to see the amount of bacteria and viruses and fungi and whatever in the air around him. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to buy it.
Do you really say?
What? No, so I once saw somebody wanted to explain this Gemara in that vein.
What is the Me'iri saying?
So the Me'iri is saying that it means like thoughts of Kfira and Minos and other such things that are constantly surrounding us. Yeah. Amar Abaya, Inu Nefishi Minan, so Abaya says you should know that these Mazikim, however you define them, outnumber us. V'kaimi alon ki kislo la'ugya. They stand surrounding us like the way a ditch surrounds a bed in a plot in a garden. So you'll have a plot in a garden or in an orchard or a vineyard or whatever where you have the plants growing. Surrounding it, you'll have a ditch with water in it to be able for the plant to be able to get water and nourishment from. So the way the mazikim surround us is like the way that you'll find a garden plot surrounded by a ditch like that. Amr Rav Huna, and Rav Huna says, Kol chad v'chad minan, every single one of us, alpha mismolev rabavosa mimine. There's 1,000 mazikim to his left side and 10,000 as right side. Shenema yipo mitzivcha elef. As the pasuk says in Kapitel Tzadik Aleph, which we talked about the other day, is in fact the kapitel where we dive into Hashem to save us from the mazikim, and we say that 1,000 will fall at your side, meaning your left side, or revava miminecha, and 10,000 at your right side. In parenthesis over here, it brings that actually the Medrash, and some of the Mephoshim bring it over here as well, that actually the Medrash has a different take on that pasuk. The Medrash actually explains that those numbers represent the number of malachim that are there to guard us against these mazikim. So in other words, we would constantly be affected and harmed by the mazikim were it not for the fact that a person has 1,000 malachim on one side and 10,000 on the other that protect him from those mazikim. Omer Abaya, sorry, Omer Rava, Hai Duchka de Havi Bakala, when it seems very crowded on the Kala, Minayu Havi, that comes from the Mazikim. meaning Rashi describes, you have, so Kala means Shabbos. So first of all, in parenthesis, it says that Shabbos is called Kala, like Bori Kala Shabbos Malkasa. But besides that, also in many places in Shas, Kala actually means the drosha that they would give to the Talmidim. When they would teach Torah to the Talmidim in the yeshiva, that was called the Kala. That's where we get the term Yasei Kala, for example, and other such things. So sometimes, yeah, people are sitting there on Shabbos listening, and at first it seems very roomy, and soon they feel very crowded. So that crowding, that unusual crowding that you feel that can't be explained by the actual size of the crowd, that's because there are mazikim there who are crowding you. Probably somewhat different than, for example, the crowding that you felt in 770 in the good old days. Hani Birki Deshalgi, also when knees are tired, for a person is walking and all of a sudden his knees feel unusually tired, Minayu Havi, it also comes as a result of the mazikim. Like he's constantly bumping into mazikim everywhere he goes, and therefore it makes his knees tired. So on one level, the Gemara is meaning it literally. And Ion Yaakov says, in fact, that means if a person starts feeling this kind of thing, he starts feeling this unusual crowding or his knees buckling or whatever, he should realize there are mazikim around and say, Kapitol Tzadik Aleph, say Yoshua Besesa Elyon to save himself from the mazikim. On a different level, for example, there's an explanation from the Vilna Gaon that says that knee, specifically his girsa, is that we don't just mean stamp people's knees, specifically Talmid Chachamim's knees. And so he explains that the knees represent the supporters. The knees of the Talmid Chachamim represent then the people, the Gvirim, who support Talmid Chachamim, who are the Zvulun to the Talmid Chachamim Yisachar. So what happens? The Mazikim, meaning, as the Me'iri says, thoughts of Kfira, or B'chlau, we're talking Shadim, Kochas HaTruma, come and start convincing these Gvirim, you know what, who needs these Talmid Chachamim? What do you need to support them? You have better things to spend your money on. And so they weaken and they buckle and stop supporting the Talmid Chachamim as a result of the Mazikim getting in and whispering into their ear. So therefore, in other words, the point is, what Rava is saying, if a person is in that situation where he's been supporting Talmid Chachamim and he feels that his commitment to it is slackening, then he should realize that it's coming from these mazikim and know to take steps against it. He continues, Hani kari de menachin minayu. When a person's feet get bruised as he's walking along, minayu, it's because of them, again, because of the mazik. Now, one thing is, we know in Chassidus that the feet, and particularly the heels, represent Kabbalah's oil. So one meaning of it can mean that if a person feels that his Kabbalah's oil to the Eibishter is weakening, then again he should realize what's going on over here. It's not coming from the side of Kedusha, but rather from the opposite, and know how to deal with it. The Gemara continues, if a person wants to know if there are, in fact, mazikim around and about, he should take finely sifted ashes, which are very powdery, so therefore footprints will be easily noticeable in them, and scatter it around his bed. So around his bed, Marsha points out, at nighttime is when mazikim tend to prowl around more. So therefore, when is he likely to see them, or not see them, but to see their footprints around, is when he's in bed. In fact, that same Kavetel Tzadik Aleph says that. Don't be afraid of the terrors at night. From the epidemics that rage in the darkness. So therefore, the darkness is the kind of place where Shadim like to hang around. In the morning, if there are Shadim around, then he will see in the powdered ashes, he'll see what look like footprints of chickens, because the Shadim had chicken-like feet. We know in the famous story of Ashmedai, for example, that when he was impersonating Shleiman, that he kept his feet covered for that reason. It's an interesting thing, by the way, and Medrash says on that, we know that it was said in Pirkei Avos this coming week, that Sodet Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Ben Ashmashes, and according to one opinion, included among them on the Mazikim, the Shadim. So the vort is, and Medrash says on this, that so to speak, Hashem created them so close to Shabbos that their feet couldn't be completed. There wasn't enough time before Shabbos. So the Eved Shadavka left their feet unfinished as a lesson. Now, the Eved Shadavka could have planned things better, but he did that Davka in order to demonstrate to a person a lesson. No matter how important your work is, on Shabbos you drop it.
Somebody wakes up in the morning and sees chicken feet print and his powder over there. He's not going to be able to sleep that night.
That's probably true. This is probably true, right. But again, as the Ion Yaakov is saying, if he sees that, then he should know that, at least, put it this way, they actually say, speaking of Mazikim, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. So at least if he knows that there are Shadim around, so like this, he might be having nightmares without even knowing why. Now at least he knows, he can attribute it to the Rosh Shadim around. Now at least, like Ion Yaakov says, he can say to Shir Shof Goyim to ask the Eivishtip to protect him from them. Continues the Gemara, Haiman de Boil Mechazinu, what if a person wants to actually see the Shadim? So just seeing the footprints is not enough, he actually wants to see them. He should take the placenta, or we talked about the nid, actually the shulya is not so much the placenta, but the amniotic sac, the sac inside the mother's womb that the baby develops inside of a shunauta ukanta, of a black cat. Cats, the chlal, are associated with koichas atoma. You have various stories. I think there's a Baal Shem Tov story, for example, of a parrot who disguised himself as a cat in order to harm kids. So yeah, and then black also, the color associated with trauma. Bas Ukamta, and this cat, this black cat, should be the daughter of a black cat. A Bukhraisa Bas Bukhraisa. It should be a firstborn, the one that he takes, the amniotic sac should be a firstborn cat, and her mother was also a firstborn cat. The idea being the firstborn has a greater koyach, so therefore you find in Mitzrayim, for example, the Bukhurim had the tremendous power of Koychas HaTumah, which is why they were destroyed in Makas Bukhuris. The Likalya Benura, take the Shulya and burn it in fire. Then grind up the ashes, and then put some in his eyes. Literally, l'malya l'enei means to fill up his eyes. Rashi explains that whenever you're putting something in the eye, the Gemara calls it filling up, because there's not much room in your eye. You put in one drop of something, and your eye is already full of it. So therefore, you're only putting in a tiny amount, but yeah. And then he'll see, then with that kind of concoction, he'll be able to see the shape. And he'll probably be seeing a lot of other things as well, but anyway, yeah. Afterwards, for the shadi with boofsa de parizala, then he should take the rest of the ashes and put them in a metal tube, in an iron tube, the lechasmid with gushpanka de parizala, and seal it with an iron seal. The point being that Rashi explains, there's a Gemara in Cholin that says that shadim are, anything that's sealed up, or various other, anything that's sealed up or tied up or whatever, is inaccessible to shadim. The point is, once he's made this concoction, the reason why it allows him to see the Shadim is because the Shadim themselves have an affinity for this kind of thing, given that we're saying it came from a black cat, the daughter of a black cat, etc., the whole thing, like it represents a very strong koyach atoma, so the Shadim have an affinity for it. So make sure you keep it sealed up so they don't come and get more of it. Dilma gandimine, because otherwise the Shnemazikim themselves might come and steal some of it. The lachtem pume, and seal up the, and seal up the mouth of the tube, so that way he won't be harmed by the shape. So the Gemara tells, Rabbi Barabaya Ovenhofi, Rabbi Barabaya did exactly that. And by the way, the Shalom HaKadosh says that we always pronounce the name Bibi, but he says actually you find in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, you find the name mentioned from one of the families that came to Israel to build the second Mishmikdash. Their name was Bevi. So he says maybe that, he says that's how the name is supposed to be pronounced throughout Shas. It would be Bevi Barabaya rather than Bibi. Anyway, so he did this. Chaza, sure enough, he saw the Mazikin, the Itzak, and he was harmed by them, because once a person provokes the Shadim, then they can harm him more. So the Chachamim davened for Rachmanus for him from Hashem, the Itzi, and he was cured of whatever they had done to him. I guess he learned his lesson for the future. Don't try it, yeah. Okay. Another thing from Abba Ben Yamin, Tanya Abba Ben Yamin, remember? Ein tefilasi shel adam nishmas el beis haknesses. A person's tefillah is heard only in shul. It means, for example, and this is brought lahalacha, even for example, a person is davening the yechidus, other things, better he should still daven in the shul, even if he's going to daven the yechidus, rather than at home. So Shenemel the Shmoya Ala Rina Vela Tfila, Asher Abdicham Ispallo Panecha Babayis Azeh, Shloima Melech says in his Tfila, but Chanukah Sabayis, that Hashem, you should listen to the Rina, which means the singing out, Vela Tfila, and the Tfila, which is Shemana Esrei, Asher Abdicham Ispallo Panecha Babayis Azeh, which your servant, I am davening before you in this house. So the fact that we have Rina and Tfila together means Bimkoim Rina Shem Tehei Tfila. In the place where there is Rina, where the Tzibur says Shiras v'Tishbachas, beautiful songs of praise to Hashem, that's the appropriate place where there should be Tefillah. And then we're saying that Hashem will listen to the Tefillahs more over there. Marsha explains also that now later on in the Masechta we have a different drasha that it says from this pasuk that that first the person should be saying Shevach to Hashem and then asking for his needs, which is the way that Shemoneh Esrei is structured. First, you have the first three brachas where we praise Hashem for what He does, and afterwards, beginning in Atzachonin, we start asking for our needs. So Tosfos says it all. Not Tosfos, Marsha says it all amounts to the same thing. If given that you're supposed to first do the rina and the shir and the song to Hashem, and namely, as Rashi says, that takes place in shul, where the tzibur is praising Hashem together, then automatically, when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei and asking for your tzrachim, is also going to be there in shul. Maharsha also mentions the point that a little further on in the perek, we're going to say about Rab Ami and Rab Asi, they used to learn in the Beis Medrash, and they would daven in the Beis Medrash as well. So Maharsha says, then what we're talking about over here, that's better to daven in the shul, is talking about where a person otherwise would be davening in his house. So he learns Torah in his house, and he would be davening there otherwise. If he has a regular place to learn in the Beis Medrash, then by all means, the kedusha of a Beis Medrash is higher than the kedusha of a shul, and therefore, by all means, he can daven in the Beis Medrash. Hakosef brings a different angle on this also. The point that Abba Ben Yamin wants us to know is you might think, is it really so good to daven in shul? Isn't it better to daven at home privately where you can have your own private place, it'll be quieter, you can have more kavana, etc.? That it would be better to, it's still better to daven with tzibur. So Rav Ami and Rav Asi, they learned in the Beis Medrash with their talmidim, so now they're also davening there with tzibur. So the point that Abba Ben Yamin is getting at is don't think that you're going to have greater kavana by yourself. Maybe you will, but nevertheless, it's still better to daven in shul, and your tefillah will be more listened to over there. The Gemara continues. Amar Robin Barab Ada Amar Yitzchak Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Motzi LeBeisach Neses. How do we know that Hashem is found in the shul? Shenemar LeKim Nitzah Badas Keil. The pasuk says Hashem is standing in the congregation of Hashem. So Badas Rashi says related to the word Moyed. In the place that's the appointed meeting place to be with Hashem, which is the shul, there Hashem is found, Nitzav is found standing over there. And the Gemara continues, how do we know when 10 Jews daven together that the Shechinah is with them? Shenemar, the Kib Nitzav Adatskel, the same passage. When there's a congregation, and we know that the word Eda means 10, we learn from the Meraglim, and Mosela Eda Hara Azos, where there were 10 bad Meraglim, then therefore the word Eda means 10, so when you have an Eda, an Adas scale, then Hashem is standing there as Nitzo. And that means, as we know, any 10 Jews, doubt, whatever makes the point, in the Geras HaKodesh, we're not just talking about 10 Sadikim or something like that, we're talking about even 10 Poshet Jews, and he brings over there from the Mizrach Magid that even the greatest Malach would be completing this battle in the face of a level of Gilus Shechina that you have even over 10 regular Jews. This is the same Igeris, by the way, where the Altidever talks about the importance of learning Ein Yaakov between Mincha Ma'ariv, which is what we're doing right now. So very appropriate to mention it. So we should realize that now we have ten people over here. We have a level of the Shechina that even a Malach would be completely bottle in the face of it. Anyway. How do we know that also when you have three people sitting and judging a din Torah, that the Shechinah is with them? The pasuk says the Kedav of the Kim Yishpoit. That same pasuk continues. Hashem, that same pasuk continues among Elikim, where Elikim means a based in. So Yishpoit Hashem judges. So therefore Hashem is present there at the deliberations of the based in. Maharsha points out, by the way, you know, we have in Pirkei Avos, Asara Shiyoshim Vos Matar Shina Shri Vinayim, Minayin Afil HaMisho, Minayin Afil HaShloisha, and the same psukim that the Gemara is bringing over here, it brings over there. So what is Rabin Barab Abba Amr Abitzchak Amiroyim? What are they adding to what it says in the Mishnah? So Maharsha says, first of all, they're adding that they're in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it's talking about when they're learning. Asara Shiyoshim Vosim Vatorah, Minayin Afil HaMisho, Minayin Afil HaShloisha, etc. Here we're talking about even when they're doing other things, they're davening or they're doing a din Torah, then still, as long as they have that number of people, then also the Shechinah is with them. And also Maharsha says that here in the Gemara, we're going to explain shortly why we need, if you already have the Shechinah is there when there's two people, then what's being added when there are three people? What's being added when there are five? What's being added when there are ten? That's what Gemara is going to deal with, which we don't have in Pirkei Avos. How do we know when two people are sitting together and learning Torah that that the Shechina is with them. Shenemar, because it says, "Oz nidguru yira Hashem ishareinu." Then those who fear Hashem spoke one to the other. So we're talking about two people, one speaking to the other. Vayachshev Hashem vayishma. Hashem vayachshev and listened, and vayachshev, like we had before, lo hikshav to the mitzvosa. We said yesterday in the din of waiting for somebody else in shul. We said that the word hikshavta can also mean to wait. So he also, it means Hashem waits. Hashem, so to speak, stands around and listens and pays attention to what they're saying. By Yishma, he listens. By Kosev, say, because he caught on the fun of, and a book of remembrance was written before Hashem, L'yirei Hashem, L'chosh Veshmoi, regarding those who fear Hashem and who think about his name. So the Gemara interjects, Mayu L'chosh Veshmoi, what is this last phrase, L'chosh Veshmoi, those who think about Hashem's name, what is that, what is that adding over here? So, Amar Rav Ashi, I feel a chosh of Adam lasis mitzvah. Even if a person was thinking to do a mitzvah, the nenas, but then there was an onus, v'lo yasah, he wasn't able to do it. Ma'ala olav akosah, ki lasah, nevertheless, the pasuk counts it as if he did it, because a yid wants to do what the Eivishter wants, and he would have done it had there not been the onus. So even though all he did was think about it, in parenthesis over here, you have Ayin Shom Marsha, that the Gemara in Kiddushin also brings this line, and Marsha explains whether the Afilu goes on the Choshev. Even if he was only thinking about it, he didn't yet actually take any concrete steps to do the mitzvah, but the fact that he was thinking about it, and then an onus prevented him, that already is enough for him to get credit. Eitz Yosef points out over here, I mean, on the face of it, the Gemara is bringing this in just because since we mentioned the positive, then the Gemara wants to understand, by the way, what those words of the Chosh Veshmoy mean. But still, Eitz Yosef says, I mean, after all, what is it doing in our Gemara? It seems to be interjecting in the middle of what we were talking about the number of people where the Shechina is there. So he says, because that otherwise we wouldn't know that the Oz Nidbaru refers to learning Torah. Maybe it refers to they're talking with each other, planning to do a mitzvah. But since we're saying that with a mitzvah, even choshav lasis is ma'alol v'chosav, then therefore the oz nidburu necessarily must be talking about talking in Torah, because machshava, you're not yotze talmud Torah with just thinking. Next, I mean, na'in la'echad sheyoshev v'osav v'torah shechina, how do we know that if even only one person is sitting by himself and learning Torah, the Shechina is with him. Shenema b'cholam mokem asher shmi. Hashem says, wherever I will cause my name to be mentioned, asher literally means I will mention. So Rashi teaches out, and also on the pasuk, that it means where I cause my name to be mentioned. In other words, where I give a mitzvah and I give instructions that the result of that is that my name is being said in a place. Ovei elecha, ovei rachticha, I will come to you, and elecha is loshen yochid, ovei rachticha, and I will bless you also b'loshen yochid. So we see that it applies even to one person. Okay, so the Gemara asks, if you're saying that the Shechina is there even when only one person is learning Torah by himself, do we need to say two? Why do we need a pasuk to tell us that the Shechina is there when there's two? And the answer is because the two have an advantage over the one. When two people are sitting and learning Torah together, then what they're doing is being written down in the Sefer HaZichronis. The Sefer HaZichronis, when it's only one person, because after all, the pasuk that we said about two, Vayachshav Hashem Yishma, says, Vayikotev Sefer Zichron upon him. When it's only one, Vayimichtev and Mila, the Sefer HaZichronis, then Hashem doesn't write it down in the book of remembrances. Now, Tosfos says what that means is, Hashem doesn't write it together with other people's chosim. Every person has his own individual book for Mila. Of course, when he's learning Torah by himself, he gets the Eibishter gives that to his credit and writes it down in his own book, but we're talking about that he's not written together with the others, because he's learning by himself. Marsha says also the vote is when two people are learning Torah together, they give and take about it, they discuss back and forth, and if one of them is understanding it wrongly, then the other one will correct him, and therefore they come out to the truth. Mashenkin, one person is learning by himself, he might be completely misunderstanding the thing, and therefore, therefore Hashem doesn't write it down, because not necessarily doesn't necessarily come to the end. Then, next, so now, if we said that the Shechina is there even when there are two Jews learning together, how much more so three? So why do we need to bring the pasuk for Keter Elikim Yishpoi about three? Now, of course, the obvious answer is there we're talking about Din Torah, but after all, Din Torah is learning Torah as well. So, The answer is maudetema, because without that, you might have thought, it's one thing when they're learning Torah, but dina, when they're judging a din Torah, shloma ba'almahu, it's just making shalom in the world. It's not necessarily of the caliber of learning and teaching Torah. V'loy asa shchina, so maybe the shchina doesn't show up for that. Kamash malon did dinami hainu Torah. Therefore, we need to be told that no, in fact, a din Torah, after all, is a form of learning Torah. And therefore, yes, the shchina is there as well. Then, if we already know that the Shekhinah is there with three, then for sure 10. Why do we need to be told the pasuk that the kim nitzabad as kale for 10? And the answer is, asara kodma Shekhinah v'asya. The answer is, because when there are 10, then the Shekhinah comes there first, even before all the 10 show up. Elikim nitzabad as kale, the word nitzab always suggests that someone is standing there ready. Like you have this week's parasha, atem nitzavim ayem kofem, v'dasim v'abidam yotzim nitzavim. Other examples like that, where we see the word nitzav means not just standing there, but ready for action, so to speak. So Hashem is already standing there even before the rest of the ten show up. Later on, we're going to have in the Gemara, we'll get to sometime next week, best after Rosh Hashanah, best Hashem, the idea that when Hashem comes to the shul and finds that that there aren't 10 people, then he's upset about it because he came there and he's waiting for the 10 and they didn't show up. So on the other hand, tlossa, on the other hand, what? Say what? That we learn that minion is what?
How you know that minion is 10?
We know that minion is 10 because of the word Ada. The word Ada means 10, like you have the ten bad meraglim on Masala Ada Azos. Yeah, from the meraglim, yeah. So on the other hand, tlossa adiyasti, but when it comes to three, when it comes to three, then Hashem doesn't show up ahead of time. Only when the three of them sit down and are ready to start the din Torah, then Hashem comes. So therefore, each group has a greater advantage over the previous one. By the way, later on in the Masechta, we have something as far as Mizuman. There's an opinion in the Mishnah over there that says that as you have a larger number of people, you make the Mizuman more and more elaborate. You have, we're learning the halachas of Mizuman now in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So you have, you know, we know that you only have the three, you say Nevorach Shachal Mishaloi, and 10, you say Nevorach Kainu Shachal Mishaloi. The Mishnah, there, later on in the Masechta, brings an opinion that, Rabbi Akiva, I think it is, that says that you keep on going more and more. Rabbi Yisak, really, maybe it is, I don't remember anyway, that with a 100, you say Baruch Hashem Alekim, with 1,000, you say Baruch Hashem Alekim Alekei Yisrael, and so forth. So, with also the idea of the greater number of Jews, the greater the Hashiras Hashem. Okay. The Gemara says, Omer Robin, or Rab Ovin Barab Ada Omer Yitzchak. We had something before in the course of this discussion. We had this whole thing, Minayin Shakarish Bochum Motzbe Vesek Nesis, from the same Amor. So now the Gemara brings something else from. How do we know that Hashem wears tefillin? Now, what does that mean, Hashem wears tefillin? Hashem doesn't have a goof. So there's lots and lots of different explanations about it, on pshat, on remez, on drush, on soid, and chassidus. Just to give a taste of a few of them, so Rav Hai Goin says that it's not, what it means is that Hashem showed a demonstration to Moshe of how the Kesher Shel Tefillin is supposed to be made and where it's supposed to be placed. The same way, for example, as we find that Moshe couldn't understand how the Mishkan is supposed to be assembled and Hashem had to show him, and he couldn't understand how the Menorah is to be made and Hashem had to show him. So the same way, he couldn't have understood how the Kesher Shel Tefillin is supposed to work and Hashem had to, so to speak, demonstrate it to him. However, the Rashba asks on that. He says, in that case, the Gemara is going to talk about soon what parashiyos there are in Hashem's tefillin. Then in that case, if it's just that Hashem had to show him the outside of it, then why is it relevant to talk about what parashiyos there are in there? So the Rashba over here, it's printed here in Ein Yaakov, has a long explanation about it, where he explains, in other words, what's the idea behind tefillin, is there supposed to be an ornament, a yid wears an ornament, the word teitophos actually means an ornament, and they have a few different purposes, they remind us of Abbas Hashem, and remembering his nisim, and so forth, and also to remind us where does our seichel that's inside our brain, and then where does our power to do anything come from, all comes from Hashem. And he goes on to explain the details. In particular, then you have the Shel Yad has one compartment representing the Achdus of Hashem, and the Shel Rosh has four compartments representing that you have the different things in the world that branch out from the Achdus of Hashem. So now what we're saying is, So now what we're saying is that since we have a reciprocal relationship with Hashem, Anila Dodi Vidodi Li, Dodi Li Vaniloi, then Hashem also wants to demonstrate that he recognizes that we are one unique nation, and which as the Gemara is going to go on to talk about as far as the parashiyos and the tefillin. And therefore, so to speak, he wears tefillin as well. And as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he has in his tefillin psukim that talk about the greatness of the Jewish people. Hakosef talks about in a somewhat similar vein that it shows that, like this, for example, when he says that the four parashiyos of the Shor Rosh and four parashiyos in the Shel Yad, the four compartments of the Shor Rosh represent, in other words, that so we have the again, there's one Eivish there, and we have we human beings, we're one nation, united with Hashem, and we're made up of four Yesodis. So therefore, we have four parashiyos in the Tefillin. So now Hashem's Tefillin also represent the idea that He has that reciprocal relationship with us, who have one neshama and a body made of four Yesodis, and therefore, so to speak, His Tefillin are made on the same model. Marshall talks about the idea that there's chesed and gvura, and therefore the same way as we show our allegiance to Hashem with the tefillin, therefore the same way Hashem shows His chesed and gvura to us with His tefillin. In Chassidus, in the Siddur and Dach, there's several long maimorim in Shara Tefillin on the subject of Hashem's Tefillin and the details of them. One thing it talks about, based on this idea that we're saying they're like a signet, and Marshall brings in this connection, the pasuk Simeni Kachoisim Al Libecha Kachoisim Al Zreacha. So the Alter Rebbe talks about in some length over there the idea that when you stamp something with a seal, with a signet, you get a reverse image, and therefore, so to speak, you have the Ashpa that comes in the Lamaila that produces a reverse image down here. And vice versa, the Sarissa Devasata are a border that produces a reversed image up the Mila, and therefore one is a mirror image of the other. So therefore, if we're wearing tefillin, then so to speak, Hashem wears tefillin, and it represents the idea, as we those of us who may remember the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, or those of us who taught it to our kids or grandsons or grandchildren recently, may remember that it talks about over there that it means bringing down Moichin into Midas, which brings the whole world to a higher level, and it means the Eivishter's tefillin with the Pasuk Mikam Feisor Goyach Baaretz means bringing us Jewish people specifically to a higher level. Anyway, that and many, many more explanations go into this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maniach
Tefillin. So it's like a mirror effect.
So one idea is it's like a mirror effect, right? Yeah. So how do we know? Shenema nishva Hashem b'yimino u'bizroya uzo. The Pasuk says Hashem swore by his right, actually it's this week's Katara. Hashem swore by his right hand and by the arm of his power. So therefore, so that means so the in yimino el Torah, the word yimino refers to the Torah, which is chesed, and yimino esh das lamay. From Hashem's right hand, He gave us a Torah of fire. The in uzay el tefillin, and the word uzay, His strength, refers to tefillin, and therefore it's associated with the left arm, as we put it on our left arm. Shenema Hashem oiz lam yitin, as the pasuk says, Hashem gives the Jewish people strength. So when we nayin chak tefillin oiz heim leis. Well, where do we see that feeling of strength of the Jewish people? The pasuk says, last week's parasha, all the nations of the world will see that the name of Hashem is called on you, and they will fear you. Specifically, that means the tefillin shebarosh. So those give the Jewish people power. We know that he quoted this incessantly back when he started Mivsa Tefillin, and for years after that, the idea that the Takta makes the goyim fear us. So yeah. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak, Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak Rav Chiba Avin, Hani Tefillin Demarei Amal Maksid Bahu." So what parashiyos, what psukim does it say in these tefillin of Hashem? So Amalei, so he answers, "Umikam Chayisrael Goyachad." The pasuk that says, "Who is like your nation, Yisrael, one nation on the earth?" So in other words, the same way as in our tefillin, it says Hashem Echad. The same way, reciprocally, Hashem's tefillin say that we are one unique nation. And the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, we also mentioned the point that Goyach Ba'aretz means that we bring down the Echad of course into the Aretz, into the earth. Anyway, so he asks, so Rav Nachman Yitzchak asks, "Mim Mashabach Kuchibrichu B'Shivchayu Yisrael?" Is that so? Does Hashem pride Himself on the Jewish people to the extent that He would have such a pasuk in His tefillin? And he answers, "Yes, Dichtiv, as Hashem Ha'amar Ta'ayim." Last week's parasha again. You have declared Hashem, you have praised Hashem, Hashem hamirchayim, and Hashem has declared and praised you, meaning Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, means Hashem says to the Jewish people, Atim asusuni chativa achas ba'olam, you Jewish people have made me one defined thing in the world. Hamarta, Rashi explains, a loshen chashivos of shvach, it means a loshen of importance. So you have made me one chativa, one unique thing in the world. And in the parenthesis over here, it brings from the Aruch that the word chativa means something recognizable and unique. So you Jewish people have made Hashem recognizable and unique in the world. Avani SS, chativa achas ba'olam. Therefore, reciprocally, I will make you one chativa, one unique thing in the world. So yes, there's this reciprocal relationship, Ani L'Doidi and V'Doidi Li. So we acknowledge Hashem as one, and we bring knowledge of other course into the world, and Hashem prides himself on us being the Goya Chabar. So he has Rav Acha Bred Rav Ask Rav Ashi, Tenech B'Chad Besa. Okay, that takes care of one bias. The Sha'ar Batim Mai, but children, the Shilim Sharosh, have four Batim in them. What goes into the other three Batim? Amalei, so he answered, the other Batim have the following Psukim. Ki mi goy godol, mi goy godol, two Psukim from Parshas Varshanan back to back that say who else is a great nation like us that has Hashem constantly available to us? Hashem alekenim b'chokareinu elav. Umi goy gadol. And which other great nation is there that has chukim mishpatim tzaddikim, that has a righteous Torah? The next one is Ashrecha Yisrael from Parashas Vezos Abracha, Moshe's last words to the Jewish people. How fortunate are you, Jewish people? Am noshav Hashem magen ezrecha. Another one is Oy Hanisa Elikim. Has Hashem or has Lahabdul, any other god, ever gone and taken himself a nation out of another nation, the Masses, Ba'usis, or Moksim, etc.? And the last one is Ubal Sitcha Elyon, is a Pasuk shortly after those Tzukim of Hashem HaMarta, Hashem HaMircha, the Pasuk Ubal Sitcha Elyon, that Hashem will make you above all the other nations. So he asks, Yehochin official who Tova Bati. In that case, you're well above four psukim. We need only four psukim or four parashias. We're already up to six. So mikam chayzor goyach baris, and we listed five things from Chumash. So right, Ella, so no, what it is like this: ki mi goy gadol or mi goy gadol, the jamin lahadavi, the two psukim from Varshanan, which are back to back and they're similar. So those b'chad beisa, all those go in one bias because both of those are talking about. Both of those are talking about the greatness of the Jewish people in the sense that, Tamar Shah explains, those talk about the fact that we're connected to Hashem through Tefillah and through Torah. So those two go together. Then, Ashrecha Yisrael, Mika'am Cha B'chad Besa, the two psukim from Vezos HaBracha and Mika'am Cha Yisrael go in another bias because those two psukim, Marsha explains, talk about the fact that we're saved through Hashem, Hashem, Am Noshav Hashem, and Asher Hochu Alekim Lifters Lo'lam. So they both talk about Hashem saving us, so therefore they both talk about the same topic. Oy Hanisa Alekim B'chad Besa, the third one, Oy Hanisa Alekim, that Hashem does Nisim for us, that goes in the third bias. Or the Sitcha Elyon, the Chad Besa, and then the Pasuk, or the Sitcha Elyon from Kisavai, goes in the last bias, that refers to that we're connected to Hashem on a very high level. The Chuluk, Sidi Be'edroi, all of those are written in the Sholyad. Because after all, the Sholyad also has four parashiyas. They're just in one bias. So therefore, so they're all in there. So Marsha explains, in other words, the point is, given that we said the Ro Kalamia Oretz is the Shorosh, maybe Hashem only puts on Shorosh. How do we know he puts on Shoyad as well? So now we're saying that, no, you should know all these four Parshiyos that we said are all found in Hashem's Shoyad as well. Akosef mentions the idea that, so what was Rav Ashi thinking when he brought that many psukim? Because since we said the four parashiyos represent the four yesodis, so he was thinking to say that, we could talk about, so one of them is in the Shoyad and four of them are in the Shorosh, and no, we're saying all of the same parashiyos are found in Hashem's Shoyad and in Hashem's Shorosh. Yom Yom Mashiach HaGa'olah Chavav Elul. They never talked about that that we should have Bias Mashiach for Poyo Mamash, and even more so, it shouldn't just be that we will have, it should be that we already have it in past tense. We know, in fact, that there's the famous expression from the previous Rebbeim about how Mashiach's coming will be publicized in the newspapers. And we've actually seen, they've said this in the summer, at the end of summer of Tavshin Nun Aleph, where we saw in the newspapers there were all kinds of things published, and more needs to be published, about that Mashiach, that Hinei Melech HaMashiach Ba, taketh, and then that he already came, L'matam Asarat Tzvachim, in a revealed way, in front of everybody in the world, Allah Kama Kama, in front of all the Jewish people, to the eyes of all Israel, taketh from Yad Mavush. Finishing off halachas of mezuman. If there were men who ate together and a chayiv in mezuman, and women ate together with them also, they're also chayiv in mezuman. So they have to listen to the mezuman. A child, in theory, can be counted towards mezuman. We're actually going to learn about it later in brach, much later in brachas. However, the minig is that we don't until he's 13 years old. Then when he's 13, he can even lead the zimun, even if we haven't checked that he has shtei sairus. We have the usual thing called chazaka de rava, that when it comes to things that are banan, we can assume that your average 13-year-old has shtei sairus. The last halacha in this simon, if you have a person who doesn't regularly say shema in the morning and in the evening, or is over other avedas for kahesia, then he doesn't count for a mezuman. A ger, on the other hand, does count for a mezuman. He can even say the bracha, and he can even say al shem kalta labisenu. He's not biologically descended from Abraham. Doesn't matter, because by Abraham, Hashem tells him Ab Hamon goyim nesaticha, and we know Rashi mentions on the pasuk, you used to be the father of Aram, now you're the father of all the nations. So therefore, a ger can say of abisenu and al shem kalta labisenu the same way as any other born yid.